Like you guys love each other. What's up with that? Thankful for that, though. I am thankful for that. So this is the part where I blank out and wonder why I'm up here. Now that we got that awkwardness out of the way. Yeah. Wow, I actually did blank out. That's amazing. So today, I've been praying a lot about what I was going to talk to you guys about. And honestly, it's just kind of the lessons that he's sharing with me right now. And honestly, I can't teach what I'm not learning. I can't teach you guys, I can't share with you guys something that I've never learned. And just because I'm sharing this stuff with you doesn't mean I've got it all figured out. It just means I'm on this road heading in this direction, and I'm like, hey guys, this is kind of what I'm learning right now, so if you guys want to come join me, that'd be great. But the topic I want to talk to you guys about today is identity. And I think all of us struggle with identity in one way or another. I think all of us have we have a skewed version of what our identity is. No matter how long you've been following Christ, no longer how long that you've been in the Word, no longer how revolutionized your life has become through Christ, I think all of us still have this identity crisis that comes along. Examples would be like, okay, let's say you're working your job and you've been working there for 10 years, and then all of a sudden they just lay you off, just, you know, because the business falls to pieces, or they, you get fired for whatever reason, and all of a sudden you have this identity crisis. You have this moment where you're like, oh crap, what am I? Who am I? What am I good at? What can I do? Or another example would be, you're living your life and you have all these people around you, and then someone close to you dies. And you have this moment of like, oh crap, who am I without them? And so I think even the strongest believer who's been following Christ, who has super intimacy with the Lord, has to fight for their identity, has to fight to keep the enemy from trying to steal their identity. So, I believe identity is something that we strive our entire lives for. I strive every day to try to figure out what my identity is, because I want to know what I'm supposed to do. Because we oftentimes derive what we do by what our identity is. You know, some people say, well, I'm a lumberjack, so I'm going to go out in the woods and cut trees. And then you don't have an axe, and so you're a lumberjack without any means to cut trees, and you're like, oh crap, what am I now? I don't know what I am. But I feel like we strive our entire lives to find this identity. And like I was saying, I believe that we wrap our identities in what we do, who we're with, and, like I said, this is why, we have those moments throughout our lives where we just have like a blindsided moment of like, I don't know who I am anymore. I need to buy a Harley. Midlife crisis, identity crisis, whatever. Whatever sinks your boat, man. You can use that as an excuse. So if I had to ask you guys a question, of if your identity had a name, what would you call it? And you were to not give me the Christianese answer, the answer that everyone expects to have to give in church, Jesus. Let's stay away from the Sunday school answer. But you really search your heart and you ask yourself the question, heart, if we had an identity, what would we name it? I want you to take a second and think about that. what would you call yourself? And then I have a great follow-up question. I've got questions. I wish I had a whiteboard here. You know, I could start, you know, writing down these questions. But my second question would be, does that name come from you? Does it come from somebody else? Or does it come from God? And I think that's got to be the hardest and most challenging question you can ask yourself this morning. Because a lot of times we put a label on ourselves, and I think I have a picture of like a hello, my name is question mark. And, you know, we have this mentality of like we wear our identity. You know, it's like, hey, my name is, and I'm a, but oftentimes I think we're the ones giving ourselves that identity, or somebody else is giving us that identity. But Christ is like, no, why? So I want you guys to ask yourselves that question. And then I want to bring up the idea, too, that this idea of identity is such a spiritual warfare, like, battleground. Because if the enemy can make you believe that you're something that you're not, he thus makes you ineffective for the work of the kingdom. So, you know, the devil can be whispering in your ear, like, you're nothing, you're worthless. And you could either have two things. You could say, you're right, I am. Or you could be like, no, I'm not. But it's hard to tell the devil you're not something if you don't know what you really are. It is extremely difficult to come against the enemy if you don't have the truth in your back pocket. Like, yo, wait a minute. This is my identification card written by Jesus. Read it. Live it. Sorry, I like to be goofy. So, I mean, but this is such a spiritual warfare. Like, just every day, we have to be waking up and fighting that battle of like, hey, this is who I am. None of these lies about me that you're saying to me, devil, are true. You have no place here. So, I've got this. This is something I heard down in YWAM, and it kind of blew my mind. And this really gives you an idea of just truly how deep and ingrained the lies of the enemy can be. And it'll be something that maybe you'll catch, maybe you won't, and you'll be like, oh, wow. But I've got two statements, and this is what the teacher down there said a year ago or whatever when I was down there. And he's all like, both of these statements are absolutely false. Okay? Just saying that right now. They're both the exact same in the fact that they are completely lies. All right? Statement number one. You ready for this? This is a statement about you guys. You are an outer space alien from the planet Pluto. But unfortunately, Pluto's no longer a planet, so... sorry. Statement number two. No one will love you because of the way you look. Notice something. Everyone laughed at the first statement. Nobody laughed at the second one. And right there inside, there's something I feel like when I heard that statement, I'm like, oh, crap. Because I don't think the devil has ever tried to attack us with the statement of like, hey, dude, you're an alien from Pluto. You're not worth it kind of thing. You know, he's not going to attack us with something that's not going to attack our hearts. But that second statement is something I feel like we've heard, all of us have heard in some way, shape, or form. You know, I had to make it kind of broad because I don't think we've all been attacked in the same way. But the heart of the message is what I was trying to get at. And that's the fact that you are not worthy of love. That statement that the devil likes to come at us with. And, you know, just the fact that, you know, I already stated that both statements are an absolute lie. But we can hear that statement and still kind of silently listen and feel, ooh, he's really bold in saying that. Ooh, that's a scary thing. But they're lies. These are lies. Because, I mean, in the scriptures it talks about, you know, God loves us. So I'm going to get into the Word of God because that's kind of why we come to church, right? But I kind of want to start with this first scripture to kind of, well, it's in 1 Peter 5:8, and it says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And I kind of want to just bring that point to the head of like, hey, be watchful, because he slides in when you're not expecting it. You know, just with that kind of statement, those two statements that I made, I mean, I was blown away by the fact that I didn't lie laugh the first time I heard that statement. And then he brought the point up like, you know, why is the one funny and the other's not? If they're both lies, they both should be completely ridiculous. And there's the enemy that snuck in behind our defenses, and it's like, oh, crap. Wow. So keep that in mind, okay? Be sober-minded. Be watchful, because we have an enemy, and he's going to take every opportunity to rip you to shreds. Thank goodness we have a God who's quite a bit bigger than he is. So we're going to start off with my first point, though, because I want to really talk about our identity and kind of start you on that path that I'm on of discovering your identity. And the first point is, you know, we started with perfect identity. And we're going to be in Genesis for a little bit of this. I love Genesis because, I mean, it's just the foundation of, like, everything in the scripture. First book of the Bible. Yeah. So keep in mind, you know, I'm a big proponent of all the scriptures, but I'm a big proponent of not just staying in the New Testament. I'm a big proponent that everything ties together. We can't have the reality of the truth of the gospel without first understanding where we came from. And in Genesis, you know, I want to talk about the idea of, like, we start off with perfect identity. We started with perfect identity. And to kind of really bring this home, Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." They had perfect identity at the very beginning because they were created in the image of God. And it blows my mind. Like, I could spend like 20 minutes just sitting here thinking just how deep of a revelation that is. Just the idea that if we are created in God's image, our identity is in Christ. Everything that we need to know about our true identity, we can find by looking at Jesus, by looking at the Lord. And we see that, like, first book of the Bible, first chapter of the Bible, close to the end of that chapter, just by him saying we're created in his image. I mean, we're always wondering, like, who are we? What do we look like? What do we do? How should we act? Look at the Lord. Look at Jesus. If we're created in his image, we should see ourselves looking like him. We should see ourselves acting like him. We should see ourselves speaking like him, talking like him, moving like him, joyful, you know, loving like him. This should be our identity. So we started out with that. And, you know, right there, within that verse, you could just spend hours just thinking about that and just really soaking in the fact of like, oh, okay, my identity is this because this is what Christ is. My identity is this because this is who Christ is. And, you know, this kind of, you know, I hate starting with this point one because it's also a great ending point. I was like, oh man, how am I going to do this? But, you know, kind of a looking at the last page here kind of thing. A great, it's just, you know, if you want to figure out your identity, and I keep on thinking about that analogy of like trying to figure out which bills are counterfeit bills compared to the real deal. You know, when you ask a police officer, how do they, you know, study to figure out, you know, which are real and which are not, they don't even look at the counterfeits. They spend their entire time studying the real deal because they know the real deal so well that if a false one comes into their hands, they're like, oh, no, that's not it. That's false. And in the same way, I think, is how we establish and find our identity, is we don't even start looking for ourselves. We start looking for Christ. We start looking at Christ so intently that before we know it, we've stepped into our identity because we step into his image. There's another analogy that I really loved where it's, you know, a silversmith. And somebody asked a silversmith, you know, at what point do you know that the silver is purified enough? At what point do you know that all the impurities are gone from the silver? And the silversmith said, you know, I heat that thing and I heat that thing and I heat that thing until the only thing I can see within that metal is me. It gives a perfect reflection of me. And I think that's the key. I hate to give the, you know, the whole answer right now when I've still got so many more points, but I think the key to finding our identity is to forget ourselves and just focus in on Jesus. Amen. So, second point here that I've got, and I've only got 3 points. I know, it's weird. Dad's usually the 4-point guy, you know. Hey, nah, I'm going to just stick with three points, but we take on an identity outside of Christ, outside of God's plan. So I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, and God's just been really, really opening my mind to a couple things about who he is in this. Funny enough, you know, I'm looking at the Scriptures like thinking, oh, identity, what can I learn about myself? And what I'm here to tell you is, that's the wrong mentality at all. We should be looking in the Scriptures to find Christ, because within that we find ourselves. So I'm going to read this portion of Scripture, Genesis 3:6-13. And this is the bummer moment in Scripture, just FYI. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her. And he ate. Good job. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to man and said to him, "Hey, where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." This is the moment where we decided to steer clear of the identity that God had created for us. This is the moment that we decided to make our own identity. This is the moment that we decided, "No, God, your word's not good enough for me. I'm going to go my own way." It just grieves my heart. But the thing that the Lord was just really pounding in my head was his heart in this moment. Because oftentimes we can read this, like I just read it now, and we're just reading it. We're just reading it, it's a story. But I challenge you, when you're reading these scriptures, we're looking for the heart of God. We're looking for what is he feeling in this moment. And I'll be honest, some of the things that I feel like the Lord's been giving me, you know, they're not like black and white detailed right here in the scripture. You really got to just, you're reading what he's saying, and you're trying to understand why he's saying these things. And I feel like the Lord's kind of been revealing some of that to me. First thing I want to kind of point out is, like, you know, Adam and Eve, they've been naked the whole time. Okay. It says, just in Genesis 2, the very last verse, it says that they were both naked and they had no shame. It's like, okay, so nothing's changed. Nothing's changed physically about them. You know, from the point before and after they ate the fruit, nothing has changed. They've been naked this whole time. It just says that their eyes were opened and that they knew that they were naked. And I want to kind of point out to the fact that, like, you know, sin often leads us to do things on the outside because of the separation or a openness and a rending that happens on the inside. So even though nothing's changed in their physical appearance, what they're experiencing in their heart, they're trying to fix in the physical. All of a sudden, they feel naked inside because they're no longer clothed in God's glory. They're no longer having intimacy with the Lord. They're no longer, they don't have that anymore. And so they're like, oh my gosh, I'm naked. It's like, you've been naked the whole time. Come on. Get with the program. So this is just kind of a side thing that the Lord has shown me. It's like, don't try to fix things that are going on inside your soul with things on the outside. It doesn't work. Fig leaves don't cover up the mess. You got to let the Lord do that. Anyways, so how many of you guys are parents? Raise your hands. And that's you too as well. Just saying. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to paint a picture for you. You have a child who walks into the room, and they come in and they say something like this: Johnny called me stupid. Okay. So you hear that from your child. And as a parent, do you just kind of feel this rage build up, like, I'm going to kill Johnny. Johnny's dead. He's dead to me. How dare he call my child this? Right? Right? Grip on to that. Now let's imagine something different, okay? Let's imagine your child comes in, instead of blaming somebody else, comes in and says, Mommy, I'm stupid. And inside, that rage still boils up. Right? Just roar it out. Like, oh! Yeah, something inside of you just, like, rages. And you're like, what? Who told you that? And then you realize that they're telling themselves that. So, this is the heart of God, I feel like, in this moment. In verse 10, I think Adam's talking, and he says, And I said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God replies, Who told you you were naked? Can you get on board with that heart for a second? Where God's just so enraged about the fact that Adam's calling himself something that God had never designed him to be. And he's just like, who told you that? And it's not like he's asking it like, oh my gosh, oh no, who told you that secret? You know? No, it's more, he's addressing a heart issue here. He's asking, who would dare tell you, my son, that you are naked? But God already knows the answer. Because nowhere in the scripture does it say that the devil looked at Adam and went, oh, hey, by the way, where's your pants? You're not wearing a shirt, Eve. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. And so I'm led to believe that this is something that we decided to call ourselves. This is something that we have decided to take upon ourselves. This is an identity that we placed upon ourselves. And God's just like, no! Who would tell you that? That's not who you are. And it's in this moment, and God, you know, when God asks questions, God's all-knowing. He knows the answer. So when he asks a question, he's trying to get a response. He's not asking the question because he doesn't know the answer. He's asking a question to give them an opportunity. And I fear that they missed out on a perfect opportunity to jump back into their identity. God's like, who told you? Did you eat of? You know, what's going on? And instead of having repentant hearts in that moment, Adam and Eve decide to cling on even more to this new identity that they're naked, that they're no longer among God, that they're no longer, their identity is no longer found in Christ. And, you know, they start name blaming, you know. Well, the woman you gave me! I mean, come on! And then Eve's like, I feel like Eve had a little bit of a softer, you know, shift the blame kind of thing. But she's all like, well, devil kind of, yeah, and I was deceived, and yeah. But they had a perfect opportunity to own up to their mistake and to say, we're sorry. But they didn't. And it grieves my heart. And I just feel the grief of God. And I'm only feeling it in part. Because, you know, to say that I understand God completely in this moment is like taking a bucket of water, going up into the ocean, taking a bucket full of the ocean and saying, I have the whole ocean in my bucket. While the waves are still crashing behind me. I got the ocean! But he's given me a peek at the despair, at the grief in that moment, and just the rage of a father, like, why? Who told you that you were naked? Man, it just breaks my heart. And so at this moment, from that moment on, we become a people who don't have an identity. Since our identity is so wrapped up in who Christ is, who God is, by separating ourselves with God, we've separated ourselves from our identity. We've gone away from who we are, and so we're out there in the wilderness like, well, now what? And we're perfect prey for the enemy to swoop in and say, oh, hey, this is who you are. And we've had generation after generation, thousands and thousands of years. I'm not going to say more than 6,000, though, because, you know, young earth kind of guy. But we've got generations of people who have slowly and steadily gotten further and further and further and further away from the identity that they were created to be within the Lord. But throughout all of that as well, if we look at the scriptures even further, we see, you know, God continually trying to call his people back, call his children back to him. And oftentimes I see this in, you know, portions of scripture where God changes somebody's name. You know, like he changed the name of Abram and Sarai to Abraham and Sarah so that they would better understand their identity. The identity that he'd called them in. He's like, Abraham, you're not getting this. I've told you that you are going to be the father of many nations. In order for this to hit home, maybe I just need to name you father of many nations. You know what I mean? Like, for us to truly believe who we are, you know, sometimes God has to go through really radical changes with us. It's like, not only am I going to change your heart, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change who you are. I'm going to take you back into who you were originally created to be. It's awesome. I love that. I mean, Jesus even did that with Peter. Simon, it was his original name. No one knows him as Simon, though. You'd be like, yeah, I was reading the book of Simon the other day. I can't find that anywhere in my Message Bible. Oh, man. But, I mean, he changes Peter's name even before he had done a lot of ministry with Peter, because he's trying to set the foundation of the fact that he's building his church upon the rock of Peter. You know, Christ is the rock, but, you know, he calls Peter, I think, the rock in which he's going to build his church. And he had to change his name to that. I just think that's awesome. It's just God helping us along. Because sometimes we're so blinded by the lies of the enemy that, or the lie, not only the lies of the enemy, but the lies that we tell each other and the lies that we tell ourselves. Because, I mean, here's the sad thing. Amongst people, the way that we tend to deal with our hurt is to cause more hurt. When we're hurting with an identity crisis, it's those people who go out and try to kill somebody else's identity. And so if somebody's attacking you and calling you dumb or stupid or this or that, recognize instead of them doing it because that's how they see you, look at it again as maybe that's how they see themselves. And that's the hurt in which you need to pray for them in. But what would a good sermon be, or a message on identity, if we didn't talk about Jesus? And thank goodness we weren't left in that identity void where we were so separated from God and we were just slowly and steadily, well, actually, we might have been on the highway to hell kind of thing. just completely in the opposite direction. But Jesus restores our identity and our relationship with him. That's my third point. It's just that idea, not that idea, it's not an idea, it's a reality. The reality is that Jesus died for our sins so that we can have renewed relationship with him and that our identity could be restored in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Think about that for a second. Think about just how mind-boggling that is. If you are in Christ, you are no longer who you once thought you were. You have now officially jumped back into your true identity, if you choose to do so. But a lot of times, we don't. For whatever reason, we hold on to the lies. We see the truth, we know the truth, but we still hold on to the lies. And that's the difference between knowing and believing. I once heard it said that, you know, the difference between knowing something and believing something is you could be driving down the street, and you know that the speed limit is 35, but you're driving 45. The only time you believe that the speed limit is 35 is when a cop is sitting there waiting to pull you over. Then you believe that that speed limit's 35, and I bet your bottom dollar that you're going 35, unless you didn't see the cop and then you believe once he pulls you over. Like, dang it. I think we can apply this to our own lives. And we can ask ourselves the question, do I know that my identity is in Christ, but I still hold on to the lies? Or do I believe that my identity is within Christ and that I'm a new creation and that the old has passed away and the new has come and I do not believe the lies anymore? Do I give the lies any kind of ground to stand on? Or do I laugh at them? Like we laughed at the very beginning when, you know, I told you guys were all aliens from Pluto. Which, by the way, Pluto's no longer a planet, so I'm sorry about that. You guys got demoted. But can we laugh at those lies? Can we laugh at the lies that the enemy comes against us with and say, I'm not that. You're calling me a horrible person. You're calling me a loser, but I'm not. Because that's not who Christ is. Christ is not a loser, and I am in Christ now. So I am therefore not a loser. It's simple. It's simple logic. And yet the devil tries to be like, no, leave Jesus out of this. I just want to talk to you. And you go, and you got to come back and say, well, I'm in Christ. You talk to me, you talk to him. And you know what he's going to tell you. I just think there's so much power in stepping into the identity of Christ. And we could do so much, and we can heal so much if we stop believing those lies. If we put those aside and say, well, they're not true. You know, if we believe that we are what, you know, the enemy calls us, then we're going to do those things that he's saying we are. If the devil is calling you a liar and you believe him, guess what? You're probably going to start lying. I guess I am a liar, so yeah, I'm going to lie. Or if the devil's calling you a thief and you believe him, I bet you're going to go into a supermarket every once in a while and say, I like that candy bar. I don't like the price, though, so five finger discount there. But if we believe what Christ calls us, that's not even going to be a problem. That's not even going to be on the table. Devil calls us a liar and we laugh and say, no, I'm not. Because that's not who Christ is. And I am so wrapped in the identity of Christ that, I'm sorry, but that's not truth. I just love the idea that we are, our identity is in Christ. It simplifies things. And within that, we can go to him. And I've challenged some of you in here to do this every once in a while. But we can go to him and just be like, Lord, who am I to you? And do we even have, can we have the audacity to believe what he says? Can we take that, like, can we take an hour or two and sit down and just be like, all right, Lord, it's time for me to step into my true identity. So who am I to you? And we have the scriptures. The scriptures tell us so many aspects of who we are. You know, I've got a few, you know, that are on slides. Like, you know, he has adopted us as sons. And I put in quotations daughters because, you know, we're not all sons. But it says in Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So we are in the family of God. That is part of our identity. You know, we are called children of God, same kind of concept. 1 John 3:1-3 say, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. We're his children. We are pure. And I love this one part of this. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. And this is the eternal perspective. Because we think of our lives in just this earth. But our identity doesn't change when we die. Or when we officially live. It just all depends on how you look on that day, you know. Our identity doesn't change. So when we're in eternity, the things that God has called us here and now today are still true then, or when that comes. There may be some things, and this is something that the Lord's kind of been sharing with me as well, because he's told me some things about my identity that I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see it. You call me this, but I'm working this kind of job. You call me that, but I'm doing this. And there's the problem. I'm trying to take my identity and say every aspect of my life should wreak that whole identity. But perhaps parts of our identity won't reveal itself until we're in eternity. But he's telling us about it so we can have a hope for when that day comes. Have you ever thought of that? That some things that God's called you and told you, hey, this is who you are, you may not see it right now, but that doesn't mean it's not true. It just means you're not seeing it yet. It's coming. You better be ready, because it's coming. So I want to encourage you with that as well. Like, if you're sitting down and praying with the Lord and he calls you something that you're just not seeing, I don't say, please, don't disbelieve him. But say, I can't wait to see that happen, because it's a coming. I mean, that's just so exciting to me. And then that takes us out of our perspective of like, oh, this is it. This earth is it. No. We have eternity to look to. That's part of our identity. Because our identity, like I said, is wrapped in Christ. Christ is eternal. We're eternal. We're going to be with him forever. Try to wrap your mind around forever and come back and let me know how that works for you. But I don't know. I just think that's something we need to hold fast to as well. And then we are called his friends. This is the one that, I don't know, I just, whenever I think about our identity, this verse always pops in my head, John 15:15, setting the stage here for you. Jesus is having his last meal with his disciples, and he's speaking to them and just giving them so much information. I'm kind of thankful I wasn't there as one of his disciples, because I would have been like, what? Okay? Did anyone write that down? And thankfully somebody did. But it says, no longer, and this is Jesus speaking, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. We are friends of God. We are his children. We are beloved. We are pure. We are, our identity is wrapped in Christ. So, to wrap this up, and put a little bow on it. I love that. I've got sound effects. I want to dare you guys. And, you know, I don't have, like, the two questions and have you split up and all of that. You know, I don't think taking 5 minutes is enough time for this question. So my dare is for you to do this when you leave. When you have a quiet moment, and that can be harder for some of us than others, because, you know, some of us have 1,000 children. And some of us work really hard. But I dare you guys to take as long as you can. Go to the Lord and just ask him, Lord, number one, what lies have I been letting the devil tell me and that I've been believing? And prepare for that to hurt. Because, you know, whenever God changes us, whenever God does a work in our lives, it's going to require us to let go. It's going to require a little bit of cutting.
but he's a perfect surgeon. It's not going to hurt more than it needs to. And then number two, ask him to replace those elements of what you believed your identity was with truth. Who do you see me as, Lord? What am I to you? You know, I challenge you to find it in the scriptures, but I don't want you just to find it in the scriptures, because I believe Jesus is dying to tell you it to your face. There's a personal element here that Christ is just dying to just be like, wow, I have an opportunity to tell you who you really are? Well, you better sit down. This is going to get real. And then this is the kicker. And this is, I believe, the hardest part, because the person who attacks our identity the most is ourselves. We're the one who attacks it first. I mean, we see that in Genesis. I don't believe that the devil told them that they were naked. I believe that's an identity they took upon themselves. And so I dare you to have the audacity to believe what he tells you. Not to know what he tells you, but to believe it. To live your life like what you are. To give you an example, and this is something that the Lord has done with me, but every once in a while at work, I'll make a mistake, or every once in a while, you know, I'll be living life and I'll just make a mistake. And my initial response is always like, oh, I'm so stupid. And all of a sudden, since this identity stuff has been, you know, really been pounding into my head, that the Lord's really been trying to rework me and to really show me who I am, as soon as I say those things about myself, the Lord steps in and goes, I didn't call you that. Don't you call yourself that.
Amen.
Don't you dare. Because your identity is so wrapped in me that you call yourself that, you're bringing that upon me, and I can't be that. You know, it's funny because we often make those declarative statements of I am stupid, or I am dumb, or I am ugly, or I am. Do we remember, though, that in the scriptures that God is the great I am? And I don't know, this is something he's just kind of been throwing at me as well, but it's like every time that I make a declarative statement that degrades me, I'm almost saying, God stupid, God ugly, God this, because I'm declaring something that's not true. And since we're so wrapped in who Christ is, we can't bring that to his table. I mean, he has grace and mercy and he can handle it, but let's not go there. And, you know, I take those rebukes and I go, oh, sorry. You just got to. You've got to take those rebukes, because it's not like a overnight switch, you know, where, you know, you declare, okay, I am not going to call myself those things. Because it takes daily walking that out. It takes, oh, what are you going to choose in that moment when God rebukes you and when you call yourself something that you're not? Are you going to say, but I am, Lord, you don't know? Or are you going to say, you're right, I'm sorry, what am I? Replace those things that you aren't with what you are. And that's Christ. Simple. So I'm going to pray for us. And then please do this. Please don't let this sit. Take time. Fight those lies of the enemy. Because you have no idea just the amazing things Christ wants to do with you. And the person that you will become will amaze you. I'm amazed just looking back at my own life. I'm like, I had nothing to do with this change. I'm just being obedient. And like I said, I'm on this road right now. I'm not at the end looking back going, come on. I'm more like, hey, I think this is the path we're supposed to go on. Let's go. So, let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much that we are who you say we are. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to see truth so clearly, and that we would see the lies of the enemy for what they are and laugh, and that we would stop attacking ourselves, but we would step forth and boldly declare who we are in you, and that we would believe it, that we wouldn't just know it, that we wouldn't just say what we are and then live out something else, that we would say what we are and live it out. It's a tall order, Lord, I know that, but you're a tall God. You're a strong God, and you're just waiting to take us on this path, to walk us there, to lead us in your gentleness and in your mercy, and you are so gentle. But please, remake us into who you want us to be. Remake us into who you are. Let us reflect you in everything we say and do. I pray this in your name. Amen. All right, guys, you guys are dismissed. Love you all. Have a wonderful Sunday.